Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 58.
Von Miller.
Von Miller.
Denver Broncos.
He's the man.
Defensive specialist.
He is.
Man, he's a good D-man.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it all.
He won the MVP in the Super Bowl, right?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell of a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is to Von Miller. If you're listening, this is for you, man.
He's not listening.
He's not listening.
He's really not.
Yeah. That's cool. So what have you been up to since the last episode?
I don't think it's about me. I think it's about you.
About me?
You decided to do something.
I did something crazy.
Yeah, I got this text message from Adrian. It's like, oh, by the way, we have a website.
That's right.
I'm like, cool. All right.
Yeah, I sent you a message. What was that, Thursday night, I think?
Yeah, something about like a Black Friday deal or something like that. Yeah,
got a really sweet deal on web hosting on Black Friday. I just couldn't pass it up. I was like, okay, this is... We've gone too far without like an official website. So as of this recording, and it's been live probably for almost a week, thegreenscreenofdeath.com is officially live, and I've manually imported all of our episodes over there, and it'll just be a place where we can expand on the product. You know, we can write reviews or think pieces or whatever we want to do, wherever we want to take this. I actually have a lot of writing that I have just on my laptop because I didn't want to give it to anybody else. I didn't want to give it to websites I write for in the past.
And hey, I don't work for them, so I'm just going to say it. Next rejection blows. What?
There you go, what? Dude. Yeah.
Don't want to get Adrian in trouble, but that was Bill who said that, not Adrian.
That was all Bill. Yeah, no, I've made some good friends there, and I've definitely had a really good experience. But for now, I just want to focus on what we do here and expand on what we do. And if it's just me writing or if you writing as well, that's enough for me, man.
Is the world really ready for a Bill Harris think piece on movies? Let's be honest. Are they really that ready?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like we always bring the heat and the truth and the realness, yo.
Yeah, I'm not really one to play around. So this could get interesting. Yeah, I'm totally into doing some stuff like that.
Yeah,
help the cause.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty fucking cool.
The gloves will be off. We don't have to. We play by our own rules.
Here's one thing that people might not know. Adrian is a fucking wizard.
That's right.
He edits our show. He does all the stuff that makes it sound good. He does all that stuff. He made the website. He's a fucking wizard.
Thanks, man.
You're fucking great.
Thanks,
dude. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I'm totally winging it this whole time. So.
Oh, dude, if I couldn't do it, I think it would be like really janky if I did it. Nothing would work.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to expanding thegreenscreenofdeath.com.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's like all I did from Thursday night up until just before I got here. So.
Yeah. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
Got a couple of movies, a couple of 4K movies, Lucy.
Ooh, 4K. That's right. Oh, I forgot about your 4K.
That's right. My snooty, uppity 4K movies, Lucy and X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, dude, Lucy will look sweet. Lots of like weird light shit in that movie.
I can't wait for that.
Sweet.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Oh, dude, I spent too much money. I think I'm like... 10 Blu-rays, like 6 games.
Nice.
Yeah. I went all out.
They were all like half off or more.
Yeah. They were all under $10 or I didn't buy them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I got like half off games that came out last week.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I got Watch Dogs 2 for $39.99.
Sweet.
And it had come out 3 days before that.
That's insane.
It was a $79 game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. I went to Best Buy at 6 a.m. thinking there was going to be this huge line. I just walked in. There was like nobody in the store.
Oh, really?
I see these U.S. videos where people are like getting like destroyed in line.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing going
people
on.
Getting punched in the face.
I was just walking around, grabbing my discs, walked out, went to Walmart.
Wow.
Was in bed by 6:45.
Nice.
Because I didn't go to bed.
That's awesome. That's hilarious, dude. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, sports stuff. My Cowboys are 10-1. They're steamrolling mofos.
You make that sound, it sounds really good, but you have to say that you're on a 10-game winning streak. You were 0-1.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's what makes it cool.
Yeah, they lost to the Giants the first week, but haven't lost ever since.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
About time. I don't believe in sports anymore.
No, that's right.
My teams suck.
Yeah, they're having a tough go, man.
Yeah, my Packers suck. Manchester United just ties people every game.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are 10-10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
5 points out of a playoff spot already.
Oh, crazy.
It's like, Jesus, give me something.
Yeah, they'll be chasing.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, they're second in the table behind Chelsea?
And Man City.
Man City.
Yeah.
But they lost Coutinho. Last game, hey, ankle injury.
He went off on crutches out of the building, so yeah. Who knows what that means.
Yeah, it's never a good sign.
No.
He's an integral part of the team, so that hurts a lot.
So next weekend I'm going to the Whistler Film Festival.
Oh, that's right.
Without Adrian.
That's right.
You'll be missed, sir.
Yeah, man.
But after last year, I understand why you're not going. Last year we had so many technical problems.
Yeah.
That the only reason I'm going is just because I'm going for 2 days instead of five.
Yeah.
And get all my movies out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm seeing Lion, 20th Century Women, and the new Ben Wheatley film, Free Fire.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Hopefully. Hopefully it's not too cold because I still don't own a jacket.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, it's going to be good.
You're hardcore like that.
Yeah, so next episode I'll have some good stuff to say hopefully about that.
Cool, man.
And my last thing.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really matters. Holy crap, we got our Rogue One tickets.
Oh, like hell 20 minutes ago. That's
fuck right. Yes.
Rogue One, opening night.
Opening night.
Well, December 15th.
Whatever that is. Yeah. I got to work till 10, so I'm seeing the 10:15 show. Adrian's seeing the 7 and the 10 show.
I am, yeah.
And hopefully we record a podcast again afterwards where we're all just like, oh, it was so good.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't wait.
Yeah, man. It'll be just like, the last Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed doing that. I was so just like happy to be alive after that screening.
Oh, totally.
It's just like this was everything I wanted, and this looks even better to me. Like this is the kind of cool adult Star Wars story I wanted to see.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and for me, when I was a little kid, I remember watching Star Wars, and they were talking about stealing the plans for the Death Star. And even as a little kid, I was like, well, how'd they do it? I want to know. Who did it? How did they do it? Where did they have to go? And now we get to see. So that'll be awesome.
The girl from Inferno does it.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Tom Hanks is not there.
He's not there.
The girl from Inferno does it.
With a weird haircut. He's not there.
Have you played the Rogue One missions on Battlefront yet?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, they just added those.
Oh, no way.
So good.
I'll have to reinstall Battlefield. Battlefront, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Is that it for you?
That's it.
Right on.
Cool. So we can get into the rest of the show. We'll start off the way we usually start off is with the rant, where we rant about anything movie related. Why don't you take it first there?
So all my rants lately have been about my coworkers at work. They always ask me stupid movie questions, and they're like, oh, I saw a commercial for La La Land. That looks so good. I'm like, yeah, it looks really great. It's going to be a big Oscar film. And they're like, oh, I'm going to go totally see that on Christmas Day. I'm like, it's not opening on Christmas Day. They're like, but the commercial said Christmas. And I'm like, in New York and L.A.
Yeah.
It's limited. It's like January or something in Victoria, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, every time you see those commercials, just assume it's opening 2 to 3 weeks later in Victoria.
Yeah.
We get screwed.
It's brutal.
Yeah. It so sucks. The big movies on Christmas Day, Patriots Day, January 15th in Victoria. Fences.
Oh.
Also January 15th, I think.
Wow.
It's misleading.
That's fucked.
Yeah, so everybody gets really hyped about it. But no. You're going to have to go and see Sing.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah.
I definitely won't.
Yeah, Adrian definitely won't. I definitely will. I'm that guy. But just be more. Just say Christmas and then... Or then January 15th everywhere. Or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Make it so much easier.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Don't worry. I've already seen La La Land for it.
There you go. Right on, dude. Good rant.
Rant
I agree.
Out.
I agree with you, man. My rant is something that ramps up, especially around prestige season in Victoria. I hope I'm not... offending anybody when I say this, and I truly mean that, but older people at the movie theater can be really tough to deal with because, you know, they can't hear very well. So when they can't hear dialogue in a movie, they turn to their partner and they say, "What did he say?" And then they go, "What?" And go, "What did he say?" Like, "Yeah, that's the guy from Mission Impossible." And then they go, "What did he say?" And you're like, "Oh, I'm trying to watch this fucking movie." And sometimes the theater's pretty packed, so you can't really move, or you've got reserved seating, and it's just, I hate that. I deal with it all the time in Victoria, so I'm thinking maybe I just need to start going to the late screenings when they're all asleep.
Yeah, I saw Moana today, and it was like a kid's screening. Drove me nuts.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this happened to you last night at Loving, or two nights ago at Loving?
Yeah, a couple nights ago.
Did they go, "Is that the girl from Preacher?"
Oh, no, they didn't say that.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. That would have been pretty badass.
"Her name is Ruth Negga."
Yeah.
"She's from Preacher."
That's right. Yeah, so it happens all the time in this city, and I hate it. But, yeah, that's my rant.
We're so mean. You're a bastard.
That's right. I am mean.
I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah. In 40 years, I promise that I will never do that to anybody else.
We won't be in movie theaters in 40 years, man.
Yeah, that's true. We'll be at home.
We'll have brain implants that... ocular vision thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
On my own couch.
There you go. I'm
having to deal with idiots.
That's right.
Not having to wait for 30 minutes before they post a Rogue One tickets on the fucking website.
There you go.
Thank you, Cineplex, by the way, for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Nice delay for us.
Yeah. We're all freaking out. Ugh. That sucked.
Yeah, there was a bit of waiting and drama involved. And, oh, it sucked.
I was losing my mind.
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty big. This is Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean.
This isn't fucking whatever movie. This is the biggest movie of the year.
This isn't the Hunger Games.
No.
Well, now that we have that out of our systems, let's talk about some movies.
What are we going to do first, sir?
Let's do Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
You're the guy with the case full of monsters, huh?
News travels fast. I was hoping you'd be able to tell me if there have been any sightings, tracks, that sort of thing.
You got a pretty big price on your head, Mr. Scamander. Why should I help you instead of turning you in?
I take it I'll have to make it worth your while.
Let's consider it a cover charge.
So what is this movie all about?
Directed by David Yates, who did the last three Harry Potter films?
I think so, yeah.
Two or three, because the last one was two, right? Two or three. The adventures of Newt Scamander in New York's secret community of witches and wizards, 70 years before Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Thank you, IMDb. It's the adult Harry Potter.
It is.
Yeah, which I thought was a nice welcome change.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this is... I always kind of wonder what that'd be like, and this... I actually kind of really like this one.
Oh, really?
I found it really cute and charming and nice, and I like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I just thought it worked.
Really?
I had some problems with it because they're blatant, but I thought this was... probably better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now here comes Adrian.
Now here I come to bring
that down.
To bring balance to the force. I really enjoyed getting back to this world. Like, you know, you get the familiar musical cues and you get some magic. Get the beasts. They were pretty cool.
Yeah, dude. As soon as that, like, Warner Brothers logo with the Harry Potter music came up, I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gets you right in the mood.
All
right. Yeah. My problem with the movie is that Eddie Redmayne, I'm not a fan of Eddie Redmayne, and he's so squirrely and weird, and that's the point of his character, and he even says in the movie, people don't like me. It's true, people don't like you. I'm one of them.
Jupiter ascending face!
That's right. But he's just so self-aware of who he is and what he means to the Tumblr world and people who create animated GIFs and... that kind of stuff just drives me crazy.
Dude, is Eddie Redmayne on the list?
Yeah, he's very quickly reaching the
wow.
list.
Wow. Other than Eddie Redmayne, who I did like and Adrian didn't,
yeah.
Catherine Waterson.
She's good.
Who is an Inherent Vice.
Yeah.
I think she's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I really like her.
Yeah.
I think she's good in this film, too.
Yeah,
bad I like her. Haircut and all.
That's right.
Colin Farrell. What'd you think of him?
He was good.
I like
him,
too.
He's got that sort of suave... bad boy thing going
on.
Yeah,
I like him. Yeah. A really weird Ezra Miller. He was always like bent over with his head down, looking all sullen.
Yeah, he was basically Kevin from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah, with less stuff.
Yeah.
We're not going to go there.
But just the quietness of his character.
And Dan Fogler, who I thought was the heart and soul of the film.
He was.
I really liked it. He's always kind of a dick in movies. I thought he was really good in this one. He was super sweet and nice, and I really liked him in it.
Yeah.
I thought he made the film, actually.
He did.
Every time he was on the screen, I was just like, he's really bringing something to this film that I didn't think was there.
Yeah.
I really liked him. Yeah, it's a fun film, man.
Yeah.
You definitely do worse than this.
Yeah, I guess. Getting back to Dan Fogler, I did really appreciate his character and his performance. Like you said, he's the heart and soul of the film. Without him, there's just like nothing to see here.
It's charming, but it's not too deep. It's an origin story.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot more thunder in the next couple films. They say five films.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, five.
They'll split the last one into two or three parts.
Totally. Surprising. The trailer did nothing for me.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. This looks like a cash cow for the Potter people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the beasts were interesting.
Yeah, they were cool.
He had this weird stick plant thing that he always had around him on his like lapel. That was really cool.
That was awesome. Yeah,
and some of them were really big and some of them were like kleptomaniacs, and I was like, this is really cool.
Yeah,
I really like this stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm thinking you're a little bit lesser on this film than I am.
Yeah, I'm way lesser because the middle part of the movie is just completely hollow to me.
Okay.
It all just felt like filler, and as a result, this only felt like set up for the rest of the series. So I don't think it stands very well on its own.
If I was to say, okay, how about this? If you were, this is hypothetically speaking, if you were to compare it to the first Harry Potter film, where would you rank these two against each other?
I much prefer the first Harry Potter film.
I think
film.
I do too.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good setup.
Mm-hmm.
Potter always had more intrigue.
Yeah.
This didn't quite have the intrigue that one did.
Mm-hmm.
And my other thing that I'm just angry about, assholes who want to spoil something at the end of the film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah.
You really suck.
Talking about the people who saw it a week before us?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in the film that should not be spoiled. It's kind of a cool surprise.
Yeah.
And I saw it probably at least four or five times on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, you suck.
Yeah.
Are you cool?
Yeah.
Like, what do you get out of that?
I don't understand. Because not everybody wants to know every detail before they see the movie.
No.
And things that are supposed to be played as a surprise. I know exactly what you're talking about. And
yeah.
That pissed me off.
Yeah. So it's not a great film, but I liked it. It's like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I'd probably be around 2.5 to 3.
That's fair.
Yeah. There's the setup for the next one. Kind of makes me not want to see the next movie, if I'm being completely honest. And I think a lot of people will be really excited, but I'm just kind of like, oh, all right, I guess I'll see the next one. Maybe I'll use a free movie ticket on it or something.
Damn right you're gonna see it. We're gonna review it.
That's right. So yeah, and you know, your points are valid though, because it has a built-in fan base, and it's hard to deny that, because going back to familiar territory, it is really exciting.
I was doing Black Friday shopping, and they have a book of the script for sale.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm just like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah, they make money off anything nowadays, man.
That's crazy.
J.K. Rowling wrote the script. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't write the... there was a Harry Potter play, and she sort of wrote the story, but somebody else wrote the script.
Yeah.
This is actually JK.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was good. Not great, but good.
Yeah. Cool.
For a family film?
Yeah.
Check out the next one.
The next one. That's right.
Yes. Corey and Adrian.
Yeah. That's what I say. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to our next movie we're going to review. Let's talk about Moana.
It's time to put my stone on the mountain.
Okay. Well, then head on back. Put that stone up there.
Why aren't you trying to talk me out of it?
You said that's what you wanted.
It is.
When I die, I'm going to come back as one of these. Or I chose the wrong tattoo.
Why are you acting weird?
I'm the village crazy lady. That's my job.
If there's something you want to tell me, just tell me. Is there something you want to tell me?
Is there something you want to hear?
So what is this film all about?
Directed by Ron Clements and Don Hall, when a terrible curse incurred by a demigod, Maui, an island,
yeah,
reaches a chieftain's daughter's island, she answers the ocean's call to get things right.
Yeah.
Thank you, IMDb. starring... Sorry, I'm going to butcher this. I apologize.
Yeah.
Alil Cravalho as Moana and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
As Maui.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this one?
I liked it. I was really caught off guard, though.
This is weird. I'm liking movies more than you did.
Yeah. I'm going to be that guy in this episode. This movie was a complete blindside to me because the only trailer I saw was the teaser where you see The Rock telling the story about Maui and you see him shapeshift a couple of times. And it looks like an action animated movie. But this one's a musical, like straight up. And that really caught me off guard and I wasn't ready for that. And
it kind of doesn't help that the songs are weird and not maybe the greatest.
Yeah.
I'm more about the plot of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the plot.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that, it was good for kids, good for adults.
Yeah.
Even though the kids in the screening I saw got scared a couple times, there's some really weird creatures in the film.
There are.
They kind of get a little freaky. Yeah. And they're all like kind of screaming. I'm like, this is pretty cool. But did you see it in 3D or 2D?
2D.
Okay, cool. The 2D animation, stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Holy, really good stuff. Yeah, it's a Disney princess film.
Yeah,
it's not like Tangled or anything like that. But it's weird. There's no love story.
Yeah, that's true.
What you automatically assume when you see a princess movie.
Yeah,
unless you count a chicken and a girl.
Yeah, I kept waiting for something to happen though. Because yeah. You're right. You usually expect that in a movie like this.
It's got a pretty cool environmental message.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
The Rock is really good. Can I call him The Rock?
Oh, totally. Okay, yeah. Cool. We can get away with that here.
You Rudy Pooh cat, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he can do pretty much anything, cat. This guy is super talented. He can even sing.
Yeah. He's got a cool musical number. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and the song was pretty good, and his voice was pretty decent. It's kind of started off with him kind of like speak singing.
Yeah.
And then he actually started hitting notes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're like built like a brick shit house. You're good looking. You're charismatic and you can sing.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That's right. Next, him and Hugh Jackman need to make a movie together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to
charisma
destroy us all. Yeah, the world will explode.
So as you were saying, the trailer did nothing for me.
Yeah. Same here.
I was just like, all right, cool. We're going to review it. I'll see it. Sure.
Yeah.
It's one of the five movies I have to see this weekend. Right on.
Yeah.
But yeah, pleasantly surprised by it. Mm-hmm. And it's weird when these like weird Disney films that you don't expect to be good actually are good.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6.
Oh, that's a bad movie.
I thought I'd throw that one in. Yeah. Adrian loves Big Hero 6. It's
terrible.
It's not on par with something, say, like Tangled.
Right.
Or a really underrated Disney film called Bolt.
Yeah, Bolt really was good. Bolt. Yeah.
Yeah, this was surprisingly good. I thought it was definitely better than I thought it would be. It's weird that I'm liking these films more than Adrian is.
That's right.
I was shit on these films.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, I did enjoy it. Like, if I had to star rate this film, I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5.
Wow, I'd give it like a 4 too.
Yeah.
Just like Fantastic Beasts.
Okay, yeah.
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 It's not reinventing the wheel, but it's good stuff.
Yeah. And it was very entertaining. I just kept feeling like it's more for children. Not to say that adults can't enjoy it. But I kept thinking to myself, like, my nieces and nephews are going to love this, and I can't wait to show them this. I think it's a very positive movie for them to watch. There was just something missing, though, then. And this is just the cynical side of who I am. The music.
Oh, shit.
The music. It felt like Disney's just chasing their next Frozen, which... maybe I'm just looking too deep into things, or maybe that's just their formula. But yeah, I didn't really vibe with all the music. There was like maybe two songs I liked.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on the music as I thought it would be. Also, a big positive yay to a strong female character who never gives up.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great great message.
Need more of that.
Yeah.
Disney usually has that kind of stuff, so good for them. But yeah, it's... can't take your kids to Doctor Strange.
That's right.
So take them to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're probably gonna like it. It's not bad. It's pretty good, actually. Surprisingly good. Like, what other kids' movies are there right now?
Nothing.
Exactly.
There's nothing.
There's a reason why they put these films out at certain times.
Oh, yeah.
They clean up.
Yeah. It's the counter-programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great timing.
There's nothing for kids until Rogue One.
Yeah, that's right.
And Rogue One does not look like a kids' movie.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Ben Mendelsohn's in it.
That's right.
He will scare your children. Because he's Ben Mendelsohn.
He'll bring that quiet ferocity.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I fully agree with you. Like it's a no brainer for sure. For if you're interested in Moana, you'll check it out, and really good chance you'll love it. So
Adrian's just a cold soul.
I really am. That's just me. I'm a cold soul, but I'm hoping to win back some points with this next one.
Yeah, I think you probably will.
That's right. Okay, so let's move on to our next movie. This one is called Loving.
I want to put the kitchen back here.
Richard, stop this. I don't know what you're saying.
I bought it. This whole acre. I'm gonna build you a house. Right here. Our house.
Yes.
Would you marry me?
All right, so what is this one all about?
The second movie of the year from Jeff Nichols.
Yeah.
The great Jeff Nichols.
Hell yeah.
Midnight Special. That's good stuff.
Yeah, man.
The story of Richard and Mildred Loving, an interracial couple who challenge of their arrest for their marriage.
Yeah.
Like, how screwed up is that? In Virginia, it led to a legal battle that would end up all the way in the Supreme Court.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Wow. All the feels on this film, dude.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people about the film since I've seen it, and you seem to either be on one side or the other. You either really love the film, or you find it too slow.
Okay.
Yeah. What side are you on?
Oh, I love this. Start to finish.
So not slow.
Never found it slow for a second.
No. How about shot with restraint and or grace or something?
Yeah. It's a lesser filmmaker would have. And I kept half expecting things to escalate to a point where it's like a birth of a nation, but it never went there.
No.
Like you could feel the racial tension without it being beaten over your head or beaten over their heads.
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, man.
And Ruth Negga.
They're outstanding.
So we'll start with Joel Edgerton, who, you know, is not only turning into a pretty damn good actor, he's also a pretty good screenwriter, director.
Yeah.
He made a pretty good film last year called The Gift.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's good stuff.
Get
career stuff here.
Yeah, man.
Quiet, you can see, kind of see that, like the fury of stuff going around him, but he just doesn't let it go.
Yeah.
Just a quiet man who just wants to go about his life, and work his job where he's laying brick.
Yeah.
Just loves his wife.
Yeah. And working on cars.
Yeah. Racing cars with his friends.
Yeah.
Just a regular dude.
Yeah.
Ruth Negga. Oh,
I love her in this.
She's bad.
She's so good.
Just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Because just career stuff from her, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you know that Ruth Negga is Irish?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Talks
had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all their accents in this movie feel authentic.
Yeah, what's with Joel Edgerton bleaching his hair and eyebrows? Different look.
Totally transformed.
Yeah, totally transformed.
Crazy.
So as we said before, the plot-wise, this movie is disgusting.
Yeah.
Just the idea that this did not happen very long ago.
Yeah, just yesterday, pretty
much.
Yeah,
pretty much time-wise. Like, not even a generation ago. Like,
yeah.
This is gross.
It is.
Just wow. Mm-hmm. This, as you said, you expect him to escalate it.
Oh, yeah.
And he never does.
Yeah.
Wow. The restraint on this dude.
Yeah. And the thing is, the message is still there. The gross racism that's portrayed in the movie, it's there. You can feel it. And there's this one, like, sheriff, I think he was. Or a deputy, sheriff's deputy. That prick. There's no other word for him.
Yeah.
He was the perfect asshole. And I don't think he got physical once in the movie.
No, he just saw it by his face.
Yeah.
Just his words.
The way he looked at them. And just, oh, you just wanted to punch him right in the face.
I will not say it again, boy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's like, oh.
What a performance. And, what really got me with this film is that the love displayed is all through small gestures and little details between Edgerton and Negga. It feels like they love each other in this whole movie, and it's not questioned a single time. And just the way they look at each other, little subtle glances, I'd compare it to Carol from a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Just the very, you know, little glance at each other, a little shoulder tap or laughing together. There's just no question of what you're watching.
That's a really good comparison, actually.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not even really about the marriage in the film that I thought was really gross. It's the fact that they had a child, and that really pissed everybody off.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh, my God, it's a mixed child.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Such an old way of thinking. It's gross.
How timely is this film?
Oh, yeah, it's spot on.
Yeah, like, we're coming into a different time in this world, and this film is a lesson about, you know, not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
and this is what can happen if you change just a couple little laws here and a couple little laws there.
Yeah.
We could be back to shit like this.
Oh, totally.
And I think it's brilliant.
It is.
I know. You might think it's slow, but dude, I go to Film Fest. I'll show you some slow films.
Yeah.
This is not a slow film.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
Every scene, every piece of dialogue is essential. And man, you really get a feel of the people in the movie, too. It's not just these two characters, but their families. You really get brought into their families and their culture and just what they love to do. And the whole time I'm rooting for everybody in this film.
So a big shout out to Nick Kroll.
Yeah, man.
Who, I don't know if you guys watched The League. It's over now.
Or The Kroll Show.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Kroll played a character on The League called Rodney Ruxin, who might have been the douchiest character on television.
By far,
just a complete asshole. And the thing about Nick Kroll over the last couple of years, he's been doing a lot of indie work.
Yeah, man.
A lot of really good indie work.
Yeah.
And he's a good dramatic actor.
He is.
And you see him and you're thinking, oh, douchebag. And then he surprises you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. No, I get it. He's really good. And he's effective in this film.
Oh, big time.
He's a lawyer who just... He has a really good head on his shoulders and wants to help, but he's super out of his league.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Nick Kroll.
Yeah. Yeah, you touch on something with Nick Kroll and with everybody in this film. It's their unspoken performances. This is a very physical performance from everybody involved because they have to portray the, you know, Nick Kroll's portraying the intimidation he feels, but at the same time, he just wants to soldier on and be brave lawyer. and just fight for what's right and what he believes in and what they believe in. And yeah, just these subtle body postures, gestures go a long way in this film.
So the really important question, did Adrian cry?
Oh, Adrian cried during the opening scene and was inconsolable during the finale and when the credits started to roll.
Dehydration by the end of the film?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I think you... I think I had to use 6 cats to wipe my tears.
I was really good until the final scene of the film, and then I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. It was just, you know, and I bring this up every now and again, but I love my wife, Sarah, a bit, and there were so many of these little cute things they were doing that I could relate to when I'm with Sarah, and she was there with me, of course, and she's holding my hand, and she's she's a lot stronger than me, so she was there to support me through this film, and oh, man.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Gotta support Adrian.
That's right.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Dude, 5 out of 5 straight across, I'm thinking. Yeah,
absolutely.
Damn right.
Yeah, it's one that'll, I don't know, man, like, we're getting close to the end of the year.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, how much does this screw up your top 10?
It destroys my top 10 right now.
Cool
in the best way.
Totally. Like, I love seeing movies that just go, oh, it's like when I saw Moonlight, I was just like, oh
yeah, man,
dude,
yeah, it's next level stuff.
And like, in 2 weeks, you get Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, dude, don't remind me. I know.
So good. Like, it's so much good stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, December's going to be good, man. I can't wait. On.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, loving, if it's out anywhere near you, and if you're the slightest bit interested, we highly recommend you check it out. If you're not familiar with Jeff Nichols, previous films he's done.
How dare you?
And how dare you? And we haven't done our jobs. But yeah, he did Shotgun Stories,
Take Shelter,
Mud,
Midnight Special. I heard something really cool because I got the disc.
Yeah.
Shelter is out of print.
That's right.
It's worth $100 now.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. I'm not selling it, but
yeah,
it's cool to find that out.
Yeah, I had to import mine from the US. Yeah,
it was expensive.
Yeah, we paid what, like $30 or $40 maybe.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I love that. But yeah, Jeff Nichols is one of the great American filmmakers.
Absolutely.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Period.
End of story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, man. So yeah, absolutely love this film.
And as I said before, if you guys want to argue if it's too slow or not, Adrian will argue with you. I'm not into it.
I'll yell in your face. Caps lock, yo.
Twitter battle,
yo. That's right. Cool. So we can get into our next part of the show, Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie for us to watch. We watch it and talk about it on the next episode. And if any listeners want to join, we always encourage you to join and watch the movie. Send your comments to us. We'll read it on the show. So for this episode's Movie Club, Bill picked Blue is the Warmest Color. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this film? And we probably will get into spoiler territory just because it's, you know, it's a few years old by now. But maybe we'll start spoiler-free and then give a heads-up when we get into some spoiler territory.
We do what we want.
Yeah, yeah.
From the year 2013, directed by Abdelatif Kechiche, starring Adele Exarchopoulos and Léa Seydoux, the 2013 Palme d'Or winner, and a top 10 film of that year for me.
Yeah.
I got some weird stats for you. Took 6 months to shoot.
Wow.
And he shot 800 hours of film.
I didn't know that.
800 hours, according to Wikipedia.
Jeez.
And it was 179 minutes long.
That's insane.
How the hell do you edit that?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe our first NC-17 rated film.
Maybe, yeah.
But a Serbian film would be an X.
Yeah.
R-rated in Canada. Rated 12 in France.
Oh, really?
12.
That's crazy.
I know. I was shocked that I read that. So, a young woman's life is changed when she meets a girl who allows her to discover desire and to assert herself as a woman and an adult. What did you think?
I love this film.
Shit, dude.
Yeah,
so good.
It's so good.
It's I kind of, this is going to sound really weird, but it's like an adult John Hughes film to me.
Okay, yeah, I get that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, really, really is.
Coming of age, but way more serious.
Yeah.
And no, like, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Or and Molly Ringwald.
It doesn't end on the last day of school.
Totally.
It goes beyond that and into young adulthood. And I enjoyed that. I was, like, really surprised by that when the timeline gets a little bit further and you're like, whoa, okay. Oh, they're on there. Oh, they're living together. Oh, okay. That's what's going on here. And I love that.
So a girl who really hasn't figured stuff out yet in life meets a girl and the attraction is instant. Like, there's fire there, which, you know, sets off this really real feeling story of, like, young love and the emotions that come with that, led by the absolutely amazing Adele Exarchopoulos. Holy crap, is she great in this film.
Yeah, she's outstanding.
One of the great female performances of the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I've seen her in other films since, and she hasn't quite hit that peak.
Okay.
But she is just so great in this film. And, you know, everybody knows Léa Seydoux.
Yeah.
She's, you know, been in some American films, been in some European films. She's great too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about Adele Exarchopoulos, as far as I'm concerned. And Kashishi, I think he's a great filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
He got in a lot of trouble when they made this film.
Oh, really?
So I'll ask you this first. What do you think about the sex scenes? They're rather long.
They are long. They're pretty hardcore. At first, I felt a little bit uncomfortable, but then I was like, well, they're both very beautiful women, and I'm just going to enjoy this.
As a male, I like to look at it, of course. But yeah, at the same time, I'm like, okay, this is, like, really excessive.
Mm-hmm.
The actresses, after the film was put out, said that he went really overboard.
Okay.
Shooting those scenes.
Okay.
He was really abusive to them.
Oh, really?
And the crew, and just how they thought he went too far with the scenes.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, okay, cool. I thought it's justified. I was kind of felt the same.
Yeah.
And he got really weird after the film got released. He didn't want to release the film.
Okay.
Because he was like, oh, everybody hates it now.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he released it. It won the Palme d'Or.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He got disqualified for Oscar because Kashishi's like, I think it's Turkey.
Oh, really?
Turkish filmmaker.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. I'm probably wrong. And it was a French film.
Okay.
That weird multi-country thing.
Oh, jeez. No way.
Again, that's same thing happened with Taché.
That's stupid.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, the sex scenes are too much.
Yeah.
I watched it again, and I'm like, oh, this, yeah. You're in the 5-minute mark, and you're like, dude.
Yeah. This is straight up porn is what this is. And a lot of spanking in those scenes, which I like, but yeah, it was a little bit too long. And if I were watching with anybody else, it probably would have been a little bit uncomfortable.
It's definitely weird seeing it with the Film Fest audience, I'll tell you that.
Oh man, I bet.
You know, but you know, it's like the whole Lars von Trier thing. He tries to drive you nuts to try to get that performance out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna like say Kashishi was doing that, but the film's really good.
Oh yeah.
And I guess he must have known what he was doing, but it's a little gross. I'm glad you liked it. I had a really weird feeling you might not like it.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just thought, this is weird.
Yeah.
Really great Criterion Blu-ray.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
This one had credits. As I said last time, when I saw it at the festival, I saw that no credits.
Yeah.
And now that you've seen the film, you must know how weird that must have been.
Totally.
This is a bit of a spoiler. It's a final shot, but she just kind of like turns around a corner and walks away.
Yeah.
Black.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty jolting.
I was just like, oh, okay. But yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah, man.
I'm happy you liked it.
Yeah, really enjoyed this one.
Cool.
Man, like the characters and the whole story just feels so lived in. Like you really get a sense of where she's coming from, how she grew up, and the lessons she's trying to learn. And it was interesting. She struggled with philosophy kind of things in the movie. And I was right there with her. I'm like, I'm one of those people too who will read a poem and go, oh, it means nothing to me, you know, kind of thing. But you can talk to somebody else and they'll talk to you for 20 minutes about what a 10 stanza poem is all about. But yeah, it was a very beautiful story and just very, as you know, very heartbreaking to watch as it unfolds.
I like how in the beginning of the film, the Adele character is a high school student and she's, this is going to sound bad, she's not as good looking as she is at the end of the film.
Okay,
it's she has like a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of a... somebody who doesn't have a lot of self-worth at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
And you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
She's very, like, not proud.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the film, she's a completely different person.
Oh, totally.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
I responded to that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what this was on my top 10 list, but it was very high.
It was. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was pretty high.
But, yeah, the Criterion Blu-ray. It's, mm-hmm. it's on Netflix.
It is, yeah.
Uncut.
Oh, really? Okay.
I watched it on Netflix. And I was like, okay, they're gonna cut. They're not cutting this. All right.
Whoa.
All right. Yeah.
All
switch
right.
positions.
Yeah. That's
right. But yeah, it's a really damn good film.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention is that you had something really cool on Twitter. This isn't about the movie.
Yeah.
We passed the 30 film mark for a movie club.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man. That's so awesome. Yeah. I was bored one day. I just went through the previous episodes. So yeah, maybe I'll post that on the website.
Nice.
A sort of
running tally
of our movie clubs and which episode you can find our discussion of each one.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, man.
Totally didn't know we'd done that.
Yeah.
That long.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So what is this? This is like 32 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And
soon to be 33, sir.
That's right. Oh, dude. I wanted to mention one more thing in the movie. A couple more things, actually.
Cool.
The shot of her on the bench, going back to revisit the bench they sat on, and she slept there. I was just a mess during that scene.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Nice.
And relating things to Sarah. Like, there are some spots where if things went sideways with us, I'd go sit there and sleep and cry and write poetry and stuff, write in my diary. So, yeah, there's so many of those little touches that just got me. Another thing I wanted to talk about in the movie, maybe you could tell me what you think, because I didn't understand this, and maybe this is just me being oblivious to poetry and such, but there's a lot of eating in this movie, them eating like noodles or
spaghetti
yeah. and oysters. Do you know why there's so much eating in the movie?
I think it's just a European thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it really has any significance.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I always just kind of thought it was like a cultural thing.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, he seemed to place a lot of emphasis on extreme close-ups of their mouths when they're eating. So might have been just a weird fetish thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
They devour their food the way they devour each other. I don't know. But yeah, really enjoyable stuff. And
cool. I'm
glad I finally caught it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I don't think Adrian's seen this.
That's right.
How the hell has he not seen this?
So are we getting a sequel?
Yeah, I suppose it's off the script is off a graphic novel.
Oh, it is.
That's
okay.
Parts.
Oh,
this
really?
This is part one and two.
Yeah.
And there's more.
Okay.
We'll see, I guess.
Wow.
That'd be cool.
I'd be into that.
The French boyhood.
Yeah. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, blue is the warmest color. Highly recommended if you haven't seen it already. If you were like me. So what do we have next?
Synergy.
All right.
It's the Jeff Nichols episode.
Oh, hey, Jeff Nichols. All right. Right on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode's movie club from 2007, Shotgun Stories.
Nice. Right on, dude.
From Bill's DVD collection.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, I saw this one at the Vancouver International Film Festival at a press screening.
Cool.
And I was really impressed by it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since, and I totally forgot the film.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's kind of going to be like me rewatching it again, like cool. Iron Giant a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Did a little research beforehand. Every time I want to know something about a movie that's old, I go to RogerEbert.com.
That's a good place to start.
Because you start with the master. And a big 4-star review from Roger Ebert on Shotgun Stories. And I didn't read the review yet. I saw the 4 stars and I'm like, that's the film.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. So that'll fill my final void for Jeff Nichols' filmography. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So Shotgun Stories, if you want to check it out, if you want to join Movie Club with us, you have until December 11th to watch the film. You can get your comments to us. You can send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll read your comments on the next episode.
I don't know if it's on Netflix or streaming anywhere, but yeah, DVD.
Cool.
That weird format.
Yeah, it's a weird format. Right on.
Thanks, I don't watch DVDs. I'm strictly 4K.
That's right. Oh, it's not in 4K. I'm not watching it. Cool, man.
Cool.
Right on. Shotgun Stories. So that's Movie Club, and yay, Movie Club. Cool, dude. Well, let's move on to the next part of our show, the lightning round. This is where we talk about other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. I'll start us off because I only have one. I'll use the excuse that I was busy building the website and stuff.
No, so. I'll give you a pass for that.
All right. Thanks, man. Cool. Yeah. So I watched The Edge of 17, starring Hailee Steinfeld and Woody Harrelson. And what's his name?
Blake Jenner. From Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, that's right. So cool to see him in this movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. I loved it quite a bit.
Cool. And I get to be the asshole this time.
Oh, you get to be the asshole? All right. What did you think?
I liked it, but man, people are praising this one.
Oh, yeah. I'm
feeling a little weird on this one. Yeah. I think the real problem I have with the film is that the Hailee Steinfeld character and her best friend are the geeks of the school.
Yeah.
And I understand why the Hailee Steinfeld character is, because she's a bitch and always talking down to people. But her friend is super nice, and she's like the cutest girl in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't fit.
That's true.
Doesn't work. This isn't a trailer, so it's not a spoiler. Her best friend dates her brother.
Right.
And there's a reason, because they're both really good looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they're dating.
Yeah.
But she's like the nerd. Yeah. And I'm just like, that doesn't work. She's too good looking.
Yeah, that's true.
But I liked Woody.
Yeah.
He's Seinfeld's awesome. Good.
Yeah.
It's got some nice stuff in it. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get over that.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a valid point. They should have found a duff for her.
Once again, though, the girl in the duff. Way too cute. She's great.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't do these movies expecting people who are really good looking to play not good looking. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm just an elitist person. I don't know.
Hey, what about, I'm thinking about Can't Buy Me Love. Patrick Dempsey was a nerd, but he was pretty hot back then too.
But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
I'd still give it like a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5 or 4. I didn't quite freak out the way the rest of the internet has. But yeah, the really cool character, good story. Besides, you know, super cute girl playing a nerd, it does have this genuine feel, like where it comes from is from the heart. And
yeah,
I really appreciate that. So it didn't feel like it was trying for, I don't know, everything in the movie felt genuine to me. So
that's true.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I really liked the Hailee Woody interactions.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a good payoff with them, too.
Oh, like totally.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. So that's my lightning round movie, The Edge of 17.
I gotta ask.
Oh.
Did Adrian cry?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not in this one.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I thought you might have got all the feels at the end.
Oh, maybe I got a bit choked up, but nice. I didn't cry.
Nice.
Yeah.
My turn?
Yeah, man.
God, I watched a lot of really bad movies this
you
time.
You did.
It took a lot for the team.
Yeah.
Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Oh.
Ang Lee.
What?
Seriously.
What happened?
My God, this movie is terrible. I think I read somewhere that it was doing $750 a screen.
Really?
A day?
Oh, jeez.
Because nobody wanted to see this film. There's no audience for it.
Yeah.
It's incompetent.
Really?
The film is incompetent. The script is terrible. The acting is terrible. The direction is terrible. The cinematography is terrible. Everything. It's terrible. One of the worst films of the year.
Oh, jeez.
The cool thing is that even if you wanted to see it, it's gone.
It's gone, yeah. It was like a week?
Maybe? Yeah. I didn't see it in the 120 frames mode.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't see it in that.
See, you don't live in L.A. or New York.
No. Supposedly you had to have like a $100,000 projector to play it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but no, it's really, really bad. It's one giant misstep after our misstep.
Brutal.
Yeah, really terrible film.
Oh.
Yeah, God, I hate that film. Bleed for this.
Oh.
You know, it's the tale of two movies.
Okay.
Miles Teller plays Vinny Pazienza, a boxer who was a world champion, who right after he won the title was in a car accident and broke his neck.
Right.
And then it's his whole battle back. The boxing stuff is really good. Featuring Aaron Eckhart, who put on like 50 pounds, shaved part of his head to make him bald.
Oh.
He's really good.
Nice.
Like, Aaron Eckhart is a really good actor.
He is, yeah.
When he's not in Sully.
Yeah,
good stuff boxing-wise. The rest of it, not good.
Oh, too bad.
The family drama, don't care.
Yeah.
Show more boxing.
Yeah.
It's an okay film. It's a Netflix movie in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Not too bad.
Silicon Cowboys. It's like real life Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay.
About Compaq and how they took on IBM and won, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just the idea that this small little company took on the biggest computer company in the world and ended up winning. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It's good stuff. I don't know if it's on demand.
Okay,
on iTunes.
Cool.
It's good stuff. If you like computer stuff, learning tech stuff, it's good stuff. I liked it.
Right on.
Author, the J.T. Leroy story. Do you know who J.T. Leroy was?
I don't, no.
So, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago, this really weird author came out named J.T. Leroy who wrote these really weird books, and nobody really knew who this person was.
Okay.
Well, because it kind of turns out it was a fake character of another person, and they got caught.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is the whole idea of J.T. Leroy being this. It was supposed to be like a teenager who was a boy who dressed like a girl, but it was actually a 30-year-old woman.
Okay.
And everybody fell for it until they got caught. While they were doing it, public appearances were done by the woman's cousin in a wig. Sunglasses.
What?
Yeah, it was really elaborate.
Crazy.
And everybody was really all on the J.T. Leroy tip, like all these celebrities. They made movies about the books.
Wow.
Gus Van Sant was a really big fan.
No way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Documentary's okay, though. Like, I already kind of knew the story, so I was kind of out of it.
Oh, okay.
Like, show me something new. It was okay. I liked it, but it's okay. Allied.
Ooh.
Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard with no chemistry at all in a really terrible film about spies and ridiculous plot devices. Like, is she a spy? We're going to test her. And Brad Pitt's like, no, I'm going to try to figure it out myself. And then every time he figures something out, he finds clues that make it so convoluted that they're trying to like throw you off. I'm just like, okay, I'm tuning out. Yeah. This is so stupid.
Like red herrings.
Yeah.
Left and
I'm
right.
Just like, fuck you guys. Like it's really poorly shot. CG everywhere.
Oh, no way.
Really weird.
For a spy movie?
Yeah. It's Zemeckis and his digital stuff.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. Some ghosts in
there? it's really strange. This is another misfire.
Brutal.
Yeah. There was four people when I saw it last night.
Okay.
So nobody's seeing it anyway.
Yeah. Crazy.
And last but not least, Rules Don't Apply. Which I think might actually be giving Yoga Hosers a run for the worst film of the year.
Really?
Just, you know, I said that Billy Lynn was incompetent. This is like the peak of incompetence.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Warren Beatty hasn't made a film since Bullworth.
Oh, shoot. That's right.
Which is a pretty good film.
Yeah.
As like a really weird like satire on rap and politics. But this one is just a complete mess. It looks like it was edited wrong.
Really?
Like, shots don't mesh.
Mm-hmm.
they're it's almost like they're out of order.
Oh wow.
But there's no time thing going on.
Yeah.
It's just not made well.
Oh man.
Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich is in it.
Yeah.
He's pretty good in the film actually. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice presence. Mm-hmm. He will be a fine Han Solo. But everything else.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Brutal.
Fucking terrible film. I saw lots of really bad films. Don't see any of these.
Yeah. I'll be skipping them because you were telling me like, yeah, don't go see that.
Yeah. It's also doing really bad.
Oh, crazy.
For a film that took forever to come out. And yeah. Supposedly Warren Beatty has been editing this film for 5 years or something like that.
Brutal.
It's terrible.
Huh.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank goodness, man. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, and we're reaching the point where it's like catch up time because we're almost into December now. So, oh man, time to get ready for those top 10 lists and all that fun stuff. I've been taking these collage photo kind of things where I'm like posting my top 10 so far, what I have like in my notes kind of thing. And I swear it changes every week. There's like something new in there, something gets cut, and it's going to be tough, man.
Right now, my number one and two are locked.
Yeah, right on.
But then it gets really weird.
Yeah.
That's a free fire for that number three spot.
Yeah, cool. Man.
And I think it's only going to get worse in a couple of weeks.
It will.
I probably shouldn't even be saying this, but fuck it. I got an Oscar screener hookup.
Oh, sweet.
So we're going to be reviewing some shit early.
Nice.
And our top 10 list is going to be definitive.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because we're going to see everything.
That's right.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, man.
But man, theatrically, not a lot in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. What do we have coming up?
So on December 2nd, nothing opens.
That's crazy.
Except for a couple limited films that
we won't get.
Nobody's going to get.
Yeah.
A kind of cool little horror film that's really violent. Really violent. Called The Eyes of My Mother.
Okay.
People walked from that film at VIFF.
Oh, really?
For a certain scene that's really gross.
Okay.
And people walked.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was laughing at it because I'm sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a black and white horror film, and it's twisted.
Crazy.
I don't know if I love it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, but it's nasty.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
Jackie opens. Okay. The new Pablo Larraín film.
Can't wait for that.
Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yeah.
We'll be reviewing it next episode.
Sweet.
Yes. That's all I'm going to say. I might have already seen it.
Nice.
Things to Come.
Okay.
Featuring a really great performance from Isabelle Huppert.
Oh, right.
One of the great second, she's got two performances this year. Mm-hmm. It's an okay film.
Didn't she say Hurricane Huppert at VIFF?
Yeah, she elevates the film.
Sweet.
The film isn't as good as her.
Yeah, okay.
But she makes it better.
I love a good performance in a movie.
Yeah, that's it for that week.
Okay.
So it's a good thing we got Oscar screeners.
That's right.
December 9th, Office Christmas Party.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it feels like those New Year's Day, Mother's Day movies where they just get a bunch of stars and throw them in a room and say, do something.
Yeah. I get a Horrible Bosses vibe from that one as well. I don't know if it's from the same producers, but
if they go nuts, it could be good.
Yeah, yeah, it
could
be.
If it's tame, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
But TJ Miller's in it.
That's true.
And I like me some TJ Miller.
He's awesome.
And in limited, La La Land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never coming here.
That's right.
It's not coming here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a bit of a tease.
Yeah.
But that's it, man.
Wow.
So luckily we have screeners to watch, and I'm going to Whistler.
Yeah, man. You'll be able to give us the update on what to expect next year.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Next show is going to be good, too.
Hopefully. Cool, man.
And Adrian's going to play catch up.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's catch up time.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year.
You should just go on a website that has a list and just make a giant list.
That's
and
right.
Watch them all by the end of December. No, you're not going to do that, are you?
Definitely not.
I'm going to play Skyrim.
Yeah.
Or Watch Dogs.
Skyrim. Got to finish Watch Dogs too, man.
Damn right.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it, man.
That's it. Right on, dude. Well, I guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
First off, we are at www.thegreenscreenofdeath.com, motherfuckers.
Yeah, you can find us there.
I'm at SoundJam69.
Yes.
Just on Twitter, baby.
Yeah, that's right. And the show has a Twitter account. We're at @thegreen_screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. The show also has a Facebook account. You just run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like, and you can be lucky number 33 person to like The Green Screen of Death on Facebook.
I haven't even liked it.
That's right. Bill's not on Facebook.
Not on Facebook.
You're not missing much, dude.
Mark Zuckerberg will not own my photos.
There you go.
Whoever owns Twitter will.
That's right. That's right. And you can also find us on other podcast platforms. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you can find podcasts. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like and leave us a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience, and we'd appreciate that. I made a joke last week. I said, Black Friday special, download all of our podcasts for free. So
nice.
Yeah. If you want to help us out, just give us a like and leave a comment. That's all we ask. And keep listening. We appreciate it.
And as I said earlier, any hate mail about loving, Adrian Charlie.
Yeah, hit me up. Hit me up. I will take you down. I will end you. Okay, so I guess we can roll out of here. So thanks again for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.